This is Reverend Bookburn. We'll be starting in about a minute or two. Hey, how's it looking?
There's a cancer in the system. The whole system has a cancer, and I'm being punished because I resist. But somebody has to resist. Just
okay.
Somebody has to resist.
Getting ready. On the front lines with Select a Sensitar is coming to a conclusion.
Hold up. I thought you said you had something to say about global warming, the environment and shit.
You know I do.
This is your chance to say it.
Yeah, but it seems like they don't care about Haile Selassie at first, and they don't care about Mother Earth.
You gotta make them care. You're supposed to be the big social activist, and I knew you got skills.
Okay, open new folder. All right. Any second. All right, are you ready? Okay. Then we'll begin. Good evening, this is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. And tonight we have a very special show. The theme is Spy on This. And so we're going to put on a show for the Bush regime's newly intensified domestic spiers. And when we say spiers, we do not mean people who are watching the real scary boogeymen from other countries and people who are featured on the media to keep people frightened. And people who pretty much the whole world will agree are assholes. We're talking about spying on people who are here. People who are anti-war activists or environmental activists or in any of a variety of issues concerning social justice. And using the Patriot Act and their new Bush regime encouraged spy powers to spy on the people you know and love and possibly you. But it's not just about the spying and the surveillance and the investigations and blah, blah, blah. It's also about putting on a show for them. And when we say putting on a show for them, we mean a show they will never forget. So, we got some good contributions from people, some kinky ones, some hilarious ones, and some that were thought up by Bookburner, some by the Reverend himself, and all of that is to come tonight on the Spy on This theme. And, of course, May, as we acknowledge every year, is also National Masturbation Month, and we'll tell you about the fundraising for very good causes, masturbatathons, and other goodies, and how that connects with putting on a show for the spies. Let's start off with something holy, since I am clergy. This is from California. The band is Impatient Youth, and the song is entitled Praise the Lord and Pass the Ammunition.
Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. Praise the Lord. goddamn motherfucking son of a bitch! Goddamn motherfucking son of a bitch!
Who can kill a general in his bed? Overthrow dictators if they're red. Fucking amen.
CIA
man.
CIA.
Especially the ones themselves are fit. Fucking amen.
CIA
man.
CIA.
Who can plan a riot in Vietnam?
CIA.
Who can have the troops restore the calm? Fucking amen.
CIA.
CIA. Who can buy a government so cheap? Fucking amen.
CIA.
CIA man.
Fucking amen. CIA.
Who can get a budget that's so great?
CIA.
Who will be the 51st
state? CIA.
Fucking amen. Nervous.
CIA man.
Who can cipher anything to zeros?
CIA.
Not well known, but simply well paid heroes.
CIA.
Who can take the sugar from the sack? Pour in LSD and put it back. Who can squash republics like bananas? If they do not like their social manners, fucking amen. Who can train gorillas by the dozen? Send them out to kill their untrained cousins. Fucking amen. Agency well known to God.
CIA.
The one that copped his staff and copped his rod.
Fucking
amen.
CIA. CIA.
CIA.
CIA.
CIA.
CIA.
CIA.
And that takes us to the FBI. And the function of the FBI, which, as any of you who grew up watching Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. be inspector, whatever his name was, on the FBI on TV, you understand to be the preeminent law enforcement agency, the federal law enforcement agency in the United States, the preeminent investigative agency, having to do with the rule of law, catching criminals, amassing evidence, providing it to prosecutors, furthering the due process and prosecution of those who are guilty of violations and seeing to it that they get their just deserts, that they serve prison sentences or whatever. That's the myth. And the myth predates the FBI TV series. It runs back virtually to the inception of the Bureau. But we need to interrogate that. If I were to ask any of you to give me a self-definition, you'd probably announce something fairly positive. If I asked the person sitting next to you if they knew you, and if they knew you weren't going to be aware of the response, they might tell me something a little bit different, more candid about you. You cannot rely on any institution or agency to define itself for the public mind in any sort of accurate or candid fashion. It doesn't have to be the FBI for that to be true. And yet all that we know in the public consciousness, or by and large all that is known, is a product of the FBI's propaganda mills, situated originally in the basement of the Justice Department, more recently in the basis of the J. Edgar Hoover FBI building. And there's been precious little external intervention, acquisition of knowledge, to paint a different portrait of that particular agency. But we do have a little window at which we can sort of examine the relative degree of accuracy of the portrait painted by Hoover's propaganda minions and those who have come along since. And that occurred, some of the old timers in the room are likely to remember this. in 1971, a group calling itself the Citizens Commission to Review the FBI conducted what the FBI, when it's doing to someone else, refers to as a black bag job. All right? That is to say, they burglarized the Media Pennsylvania FBI resident agency. They broke into the office and they took hand carts, and they used the hand carts to transport the filing cabinets of the FBI agents who worked there out, put them in vans, and drove away into the night. They have never, incidentally, and you can applaud this one if you want, they have never, any of them, been identified or apprehended. Stoke the fires of imagination, draw a lesson from that, and figure out what you can do with the information. But do not expect me to commit sedition by telling you exactly what I meant by that, all right? This gives us a data sample. And the data sample consisted of the complete paper inventory of a representative FBI investigative office. And a breakdown of that paper came out as follows. 2% of the apportionment of resources in this run-of-the-mill backwater FBI agency went to the investigation of organized criminal activity. Another 15-odd percent went to the investigative interstate theft of stolen cars. Another chunk of it had to do with routine administrative processing, bringing us up to about 30% of the whole. And the remainder had to do with the monitoring and suppression of the political activities of the citizens. Now, there's various forms of that. There was stuff on, well, in that period you had a lot of what we referred to as armed expropriation, bank robbery, but for political reasons occurring. They had a lot of paperwork on that, as if they expected a whole gaggle of revolutionary bank robbers to set up shop in a motel in downtown Media, Pennsylvania, and make themselves available to these agents whose career trajectories were not exactly promising, or they wouldn't have been in Media, Pennsylvania in the first place, you see. So maybe it would have been a pretty good place to hide out. Who knows? Maybe they needed the paperwork. But this was politically focused, although it was nominally criminal. Another big chunk of it had to do with draft resistors, their whereabouts. I mean, this was a catastrophically important problem for the whole country, no doubt. So about a third of their overall energy was chasing people around for not having voluntarily gone to the slaughter mills in Vietnam or to participate in that anyway. And the rest of it had to do with monitoring students, clergy, PTA groups, a YMCA chapter, and others thought to be engaged in politically objectionable activity. You have to tag that right there. Who's making a determination as to what is politically objectionable? Well, the Bureau was making that determination for itself. And basically, the calculus works like this. If you were anywhere to the left of Attila the Hun, you were subject to FBI investigative activity. The further to the left of Attila you managed to get, the bigger your file. And that was also when it was first made a matter of public awareness that there was something going on in the Bureau called COINTELPRO. COINTELPRO. Nobody knew what it meant at the time. People sort of trying to work it out as an anagram. What is this? The stuff that they're talking about in here looks kind of ugly, but what is this COINTELPRO thing? Well, it turns out it's usually referred to as a cryptonym because it was a secret program, and it was a contraction of the words counterintelligence program. Now, the FBI actually has a mandate to engage in counterintelligence activity, but that's not secret. The particular operations are conducted in a mantle of secrecy, but the fact that there is a counterintelligence division in the FBI is no secret. It's actually got a budget allocation. It's relatively above board in that sense. It's perfectly well known that that exists, but that, and it's targeted on the agents of hostile foreign powers. Or in a case of a few like Israel, supposedly friendly foreign powers. You've got to kind of keep track of those guys too, or they'll steal your nuclear secrets if you're not busy slipping them to them anyway. So COINTELPRO, in its secrecy, was indeed a counterintelligence program, but it was a counterintelligence program of a different sort. This is the one that was mounted by the Bureau as a matter of systemic, centralized, controlled activity to suppress the activities, politically speaking, of American citizens themselves. And the reason The reason it was secret is because that was flatly illegal, constitutionally prohibited activity. You see, when you're targeting saboteurs, spies, espionage rings, and so forth, the agents of hostile foreign powers, constitutional protections do not apply. The rule of the game in counterintelligence hasn't got a thing to do with investigation, providing evidence, bringing about a prosecution, and a sentence in prison as a punishment. It has to do with neutralizing the target. And you neutralize the target by whatever means, up to and including outright assassination, which has been done a number of times. No holds barred, bare knuckle kind of activity. You eliminate your opponent, you cause them to stop doing by whatever means are available and necessary to you, you cause them to stop doing whatever it is they're doing that made them the target of the counterintelligence probe in the first place. You understand? Well, if it's a Russian spy, it's not exactly like they're going to file an appeal. It's not exactly like they're going to file a suit either. It's sort of like the rules of the game. But now when you're dealing with U.S. citizens, supposedly your government cannot simply have your brains blown out because you're engaged in what it considers a politically objectionable activity. Political became mandate is the advocacy of political ideals, even though they may be contrary to those of those in power, even though it may even be reprehensible to the general population, is a constitutionally protected activity. And the nature of COINTELPRO is that it was directed at suppressing anything outside the very narrowly drawn parameters of acceptability embraced by the director of the FBI, J. Edgar Hoover. And as it turns out, this was not an especially new situation. The very fact of its duration and the fact that the FBI had all along apportioned its resources in a way comparable to that revealed at Media Pennsylvania indicated that the FBI had a function overall very different from law enforcement per se or anything that could be under the overall rubric of law enforcement. Ultimately, it was an entity created right from the get-go, and I'm going to explain in a minute, even from before its get-go, to take the order of business as it encountered, business as usual, and preserve it. That the status quo, the structuration, socially, economically, and politically in the United States is such that there is a place assigned to everyone, at least by virtue of their membership in some rather arbitrarily defined groups. Groups like, oh, I don't know, blacks, Asians, South European immigrants, women, homosexuals, American Indians, Appalachian miners, and other poor whites. Name a group, there's a place. And the function of the Bureau is to make sure you stay in your place. And for people whose place is relatively privileged, that's a good thing, and that's who created the Bureau. For those who are not so privileged, and depending on the degree of lack of privilege, it becomes less and less a good thing. People who are not privileged in this social structuration tend, and the more the absence of privilege is available, the harder they tend, or the more they tend, to attempt to change the social structure and circumstance to better their lot. And that's what the FBI was created and developed and perfected to prevent. Very different from what Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. purported to be doing on TV. Now, remember, as we go through this, that the place assigned to American Indians is to serve as resource colonies internal to the United States so that there can be extraction of strategic and commercially valuable minerals and other things fueling the American economy while existing in lives conveniently out of sight and mind of polite society as they quietly, or even not so quietly, there's not going to be anyone around to hear them, starve to death or freeze to death in the localities which they were consigned during the formation of the reservation period. that's the place. And that's what it was, the American Indian Movement, Leonard Peltier, the resistors on Pine Ridge, and others elsewhere were bent upon changing. arguably include.
You heard two tracks from Queer for Girls, Secret Police, and Star Spangled Hammer. Before that, Devo did Gates of Steel. Three tracks from the spoken word release by Ward Churchill, entitled In a Pig's Eye. The tracks were Investigating the FBI, Function of the Bureau, and The Birth of COINTELPRO. And that is from AlternativeTentacles.com. Before Ward Churchill, you heard the Fugs doing CIA Man, and started off with Impatient Youth doing Praise the Lord and Pass the Ammunition. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. It's on Sunday nights at RadioVolta.org from 9 o'clock to 11 or so East Coast Time USA at RadioVolta.org. And you can check out the show's archives for free, past shows for free, and updated postings and a blog and a number of links at ReverendBookburn.com. The Reverend is available for weddings of couples or groups of any orientation or lifestyle, including those from the transgendered or kink communities. If you want to write to the Reverend, submit your input to forthcoming themed shows, feedback to shows already done, comments, song requests, birthdays, requests for exorcisms or reverse exorcisms, and we do have a request for that. Write to Reverend Bookburn, care of Quail, as in Dan Numbnuts Quail, the biggest fucking idiot after Reagan and before George W. Moron, piss-poor impersonator of Forrest Gump, corporate criminal Enron Ho, Bush, Quail, Quayle, at sjcdc.org. And we will be off the air next week. The newly domesticated Reverend will be celebrating Mother's Day, and the Reverend is fully aware of being in no position to offer relationship and cohabitation counseling to another member of the human species, but does know well enough to be able to say to the book burners out there that, if applicable, do not fuck up that holiday or any other significant holidays pertaining to your situation. We will be off the air next week and returning in 2 weeks. And I'm thinking of doing this theme show more than once, because we already have some good ideas submitted for that. A ton of great shit for tonight. But we already have some ideas and input from other people. Plus, I've done work on that in a waiting room. So, next week, for the first time, we're going to do the theme, The Reverend Cracks the Da Pinch Me Code. And we'll probably do that again. So no show next Sunday night. And in 2 weeks, for the first time, possibly more than once, The Reverend Cracks the Da Pinch Me Code. Tonight, the theme is Spy on This, as written in ReverendBookburn.com. People did respond. We got some hilarious stuff, some very twisted stuff. And there's a lot of agreement on some key points. And so we want to talk about that tonight. It's also the first show of May. And if you're a long-term book burner and you've heard the show in the month of May before, you know that we always join Dr. Susie, the Dark Lady, Carol Queen, Laura Riskell, and many others in their participation of fundraising for great causes events called the Masturbatathons. And they're online at masturbatathon.org, and there's a hyphen between each word, masturbatathon.org. And there's some forthcoming events. I know the Dark Lady and Carol Queen have an event coming up, and you could check that out. And if you have trouble getting that page, or if it's down for the moment, check out darklady.com. And of course, the articles on the subject by Dr. Susan Block from drsusanblock.com, including her classic, Masturbation is Sex with Someone You Love. Okay, so we're going to celebrate National Masturbation Month all month, and especially integrate it with this theme since it's so appropriate. And of course, we want to know, how does one pledge for a masturbate-a-thon? Is it by stroke? Is it by the minute? Is it by... we're still waiting for somebody to answer that question for us. So tonight we're going to cover putting on a show for the spies, some information on domestic spying, acknowledgement of National Masturbation Month, and some miscellaneous other subjects that to throw in simply because it's the latest in what's happening. And we have a pretty funny investigator story that is coming up later. But first, some absolute essentials. And yes, they're on the webpage, but still, they're too irresistible. One is a must-see. It is spelled out as one big word, too stupid to be president. .com. And there's some hilarious video clips and graphics and stuff at toostupidtobepresident.com. And yes, on the show, we usually like music on independent labels and from the underground music scenes, rare psychedelic tracks, or non-commercial tracks from the punk underground, and miscellaneous oddities, and turning people on to stuff they didn't hear before, or at least they hadn't heard 5 or 6 billion times from the corporate radio stations. But it is time to acknowledge some of the larger artists who are, in fact, speaking out at last against the nightmare of the Bush regime. And probably top of the list, and he's getting a whole lot of shit for this from the TARD community, Neil Young. The Neil Young who wrote the song Ohio in 1974, four students were unarmed, were shot to death by the Ohio National Guard while protesting the expansion of the Vietnam War as it expanded into Cambodia on May 4th. And Neil Young, who occasionally comes through with songs or recordings that are not only musically stimulating to people who like his music, but also getting the word out of what needs to be communicated to large numbers of people. And he has recently done so in probably a greater, spectacular manner than ever before. A brand new release that is available in its entirety on the internet for free, and is going to be released this coming week. So it wasn't out on time for the show. This coming week it'll be coming out on CD, and is entitled Living with War. And it is a must. Online, it's livingwithwar.blogspot.com. And of course he's going to get a lot of shit from the Ann Coulter, Michael Savage wannabes for the song Let's Impeach the President Alone. But the whole recording is relevant, timely, and getting him a lot of shit from the buffoonery. So I want to give him a free plug, as well as the forthcoming Pearl Jam release, the next Bruce Springsteen release of all Pete Seeger songs, and the new Anti-Flag release, and of course all of the underground and lesser known bands who are putting out good music and getting the message across that it's time to wake up, it's time to speak up, and it's time for action. And even if the most you can do is forward a lot of stuff or forward these links, that's fine. That is spreading the word. That is using this high-tech communications medium for something other than the usual bullcrap that it's used for. So, in addition to the surveillance and the marketing and all the other shit that this technology is used for, let's use it for large-scale, relevant communication. But there's also entertainment to be had. And if you go to video.google.com, there is yet another classic. In addition to Jesus Will Survive and Reverend Robert Tilton, as you'd never seen or heard him before, in the Farting Preacher series, also available at priestsgonewild.com, you can now see George W. Bush doing his version of John Lennon's classic Imagine. Run a video search for Imagine This. It's worthwhile, even if you're a Beatles freak, it's worthwhile to see Imagine This. And if you want to see Bush in another video, check out filmstripinternational.com. All right, already sick of plugging. But those were essential and wanted to cover them before diving into the theme. Let's see, we'll touch on the theme before and after these sets of music. If you want some toys to prepare for putting on a show for Spy, let's just imagine that all of us are being watched by these voyeuristic, perverted peepers during tonight's broadcast. So we're going to need some equipment. We're going to need some toys, maybe some dessert toppings, maybe other humans, maybe artificial humans, whatever. But let us prepare. And one option is divine interventions. There's a hyphen between the word divineinterventions.com. And there's a link at reverendbookburn.com for that as well, where you can get the Jesus Jackhammer dildo or the baby Jesus butt plug and start giving these people a show that they deserve to see and will remember. And as one book burner rightly pointed out, yes, they may like it, but that's okay, because it's a win-win situation. If they like the show, then they'll stick around, they'll handle themselves and stick around and watch your show instead of watching the people who are organizing the next anti-war demonstration. And if they don't like the show, then you're nauseating those people, and that also is quite rewarding and fulfilling. So it's a win-win situation, so get ready to do your show. We're going to give you some tunes to help that process along. Divine-interventions.com is but one option. And later on, we're going to talk about the use of erotica and other toys and some ideas from the book burners. Let's see. One idea, we'll give you some right now. One is that there is a kind of a sacredness to FBI founder J. Edgar, who do all of these kinds of domestic surveillance creepazoids. So whether they're the local yokels or the National Security Agency or any of these Big Brother organizations from the intelligentsia, or even your local dickhead investigator type, that person is more likely than not a J. Edgar Hoover worshiper. So you don't even have to do this action, but start a rumor that you and a group of people in S&M ensemble and lots of cross-dressers, people of any age after they're fully grown, people of every variety, of every persuasion, of every gender, whatever, are all going to participate in a big action that includes face rides of the sacred J. Edgar Hoover statue in front of the FBI building. It's not too unbelievable, because I believe some people from ACT UP and a couple of other groups did some unusual actions in their history, and to their credit. And And if there isn't, if you're too far from FBI headquarters, act like you have a replica of the J. Edgar Hoover statue and start a rumor that at a specific place and at a specific time, this action will occur. And of course, you could get really creative with the flyers, the emails, or even full-size posters to go up all over your city or town. And possibly a J. Edgar Hoover life-size mannequin. So that will be one thing that can either be an idea for you to do or something to stimulate your imagination as you think of your own ideas of what to do for these spies. We have two investigator stories coming up and some songs to help you with your putting on a show for spies. Tonight the theme is Spy on This. And so we're going to play a song by Bongwater and the Gaza Strippers and a very special put on a show for the spies related song. But first we're going to play a song. Actually, we're not going to play a song. We're going to play tracks from the now touring stage show entitled The Marijuana Logs. which was in Philadelphia area last night, featuring Tommy Chong. We missed it because of our domestic obligations, but that is cool. However, in the spirit of last night's marijuana log show, and for people not in this Philadelphia area, the show that is touring and probably or possibly hitting your area, we're going to play a couple tracks from the Marijuana Logs show, starting with alleged side effects.
In researching our favorite drug, we discovered that there is a species out there known as the non-pot smoker. I know. I was like, really? Whatever. Now, we discovered that many of these non-pot smokers, or NPSers, if you will, don't partake because they fear marijuana's alleged side effects. Okay, key word there, side effects. Short-term memory loss, low sperm count, the third thingy, listen. What is so great about remembering stuff? I can't think of a thing. I mean, if it's such a great memory, wouldn't it be a long-termer? You know? Like the time I had sex, boom, keeper. And low sperm count, come on. That is just a dastardly falsehood. There aren't any less sperm. They're just running a little late. The little guys are high, you know, they're not that motivated. They're down the balls, hanging out. I don't know, maybe playing hacky sack.
I mistakenly left a baggie of pot in my jacket one time when I dropped it off at the dry cleaners. And I had to think long and hard about whether or not I wanted to go back in there and claim that jacket. But it was really good weed. So I decided to go for it. I marched into that dry cleaners and I handed the guy behind the counter my receipt. And he pressed that button that makes the big clothes carousel go around. And I could see riding through the store my jacket with the pot pinned to the lapel. It was like my jacket was going to a pot prom. I was so proud.
The F.E. Quiver.
The pot prom was yesterday.
Hemp fiber has many uses, like to make rope and ugly clothes. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm all for hippies making stuff out of the unsmokable parts. But let's face it, you guys. Hippies tend to make shit for other hippies. I mean, I have yet to need a garment that combines the hip look of tie-dye with all the softness of a fucking onion bag. However, I do think it's fantastic that my drug of choice can be worn. You know, you could wear weed. I think that's cool. You know, you can't say that about the other drugs. Let's face it, ecstasy pants don't really exist. That's just my nickname.
I own hemp clothing, but I know what I'm like when I come home drunk and I'm out of weed. I would smoke my wardrobe. Just like a little bit at first, you know, and I would try to be sneaky about it. But my friends would notice. They'd be like, Arj, didn't that shirt used to have two sleeves? Yeah, and a hood. Soon it would be a tank top. Then a week later, it'd be like a tank top, half shirt. Then a fucking man bra. Scarf, handkerchief, and finally just an eye patch. I'd be like a pot pirate. Like, unhand the veggie booty. John Madden NFL for all me mates.
Here's my impression.
I would maybe.
To prepare for this show, we asked people questions about marijuana. Questions like, do you have any? And if so, when are you going to bust that shit out?
Okay, for those who need coaching for putting on a spy show, for putting on a show for spies, for being creative, for being imaginative, we have the world's first well-known transgendered rock star, Wayne Jane County, and the Electric Chairs doing a track that just might help you in the process. This is entitled Toilet Love.
Then I'm in the desert. It appears to be in the Middle East somewhere. For some reason, I'm led to believe it's Iran, pre-Ayatollah. I'm at a very swank, very ostentatious country club. I'm swimming in a diving pool. My father and brother are there. I'm wearing a bikini, but lose the top in the pool. I get very self-conscious and embarrassed and ask my brother to dive under and get it, as I see it lying on the bottom. He tries, but it's too late. It's gone down the drain. Then I get all tangled up in a window frame that was floating in the pool, and I almost drown. I'm pulled from the pool. Then many servants surround the pool, which is now empty. They're dressed in ornate blue and gold uniforms and carry buckets of champagne. It is explained to me that this is a ritual execution. The pool will be filled with champagne, and the condemned man is to be thrown into it and shot or beheaded or dismembered or something. But it was something horrible because I know that I didn't want to watch it. I was horrified that all these dignitaries and Arab sheikhs sitting around the pool wanted to see this. I covered myself in a blanket and started to run. I climbed over and through a wooden catwalk, dodging or rather jumping over chocolate cakes that lie every 3 feet or so. People couldn't understand why I was trying to escape. I grabbed a dish towel and got outside. I put the towel on my head and saw my reflection. I thought I looked very biblical, like the Virgin Mary. And I was just about out of the gates and into the desert ahead of me when I was stopped by a very large, burly Armenian. He demanded to know where I was going. I'm going to live in the caves, in the desert, and get away from this disgusting display of savagery, I said. He wasn't going to let me do that and proceeded to guide me back to the country club, all the while telling me that he had competed in the Arkansas Olympics. As we walked towards the club, I looked over my shoulder and saw the desert and the mountains behind me, bathed in golden sunlight. I thought to myself, I have to get there somehow.
And I cried myself to sleep that night. I woke up the next morning, I had a big pain in my chest. I said, Daddy, Mama, come in quick! They ran in, what's wrong? Oh, my chest hurts so bad. They said, well, you stay home from Christian school today, and you'll be okay. I said, all right. I stayed home, and as the day went on, the worse I got. Finally, they called our Christian doctor in, and he examined me. Marky, oh, I hurt so bad. Marky. Oh, yes, sir. Are you ready to go see Jesus?
I was in France, or Switzerland, in a store looking out on a cobblestone street of a quaint village. I received a toy xylophone in the mail that had been sent by David Bowie, saying to come visit him at his recording studio. But it was a form letter with my name stamped on it. Apparently he had sent many people the same xylophone with the same request, saying that he was working on a new record, and anybody with some ideas should come and visit him. I thought, yeah, he'll take everybody's ideas and then we'll never hear from him again. The more I pondered this, the less benevolent the gift became, and I looked closer and realized it had been sent to be my mistake. The package was actually addressed to some wealthy people, because an elaborate note was attached and signed by his assistant, Coco. Then I realized the shop I was in was actually a drugstore. I started to explore my surroundings and sat down with someone in the back. It was David Byrne. I was nervous as I didn't know what to say to such a big star. So I picked up a perfume bottle next to me that was shaped like the head of King Tut. I showed it to him and I said, isn't this neat? That seemed to break the ice. And we then proceeded to drink the perfume from large tumblers full of crushed ice. We were getting along very well. And I noticed that the back of the store was actually my grandmother's house. And I realized that I was back in West Virginia. The town, I asked him, there's lots of authentic old-fashioned country stuff we can look at. He said, okay. And we went out of the house, and outside was an endless maze of country store, full of dry goods and the like, all stored in turn-of-the-century containers. I lost David Byrne in my fascination for the surroundings. And I never did think of any ideas for that other David. I decided right then and there that I was better off alone and would never speak to anyone named David again.
So much. I know if I could just get backstage, if I could just meet him, if he had a chance to get to know the real me, then we'd fall in love and he'd marry me and he'd take me to his castle in England and he'd make beautiful babies and we'd ride white horses on the sticky boards and I'd wear a long, beautiful, gorgeous maxi dress with stars in my hair, magic my hair.
cast of thousands spouting out of the corporate pen, demanding our money to make up something new, starring new combinations of the tried and twisted crew. All the human torches catching fire.
We'll be right back.
You heard the Gaza strippers doing Brainwasher. The Adverts did Cast of Thousands. Two tracks from Bongwater. Decadent Iranian Country Club and David Bowie Once Ideas. Before Bongwater, you heard Wayne Jane County doing Toilet Love. And started off with two tracks from the Marijuana Logs show, now on tour. Alleged Side Effects and Hemp Clothing. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. Tonight the theme is Spy on This. And we're accumulating quite a lot of data regarding scenarios for what to do regarding the domestic spies. Here's some information about them at truthout.org. And there's an article on FBI sought data on thousands in 2005. And three books from South End Press, which is southendpress.org. Two of them are by Ward Churchill, or co-authored by Ward Churchill, the guy in the first set who did the spoken part about the FBI and Operation COINTELPRO. One is entitled Agents of Repression, the FBI Secret Wars Against the American Indian Movement and the Black Panther Party. And that's by Ward Churchill and Jim Vander Waal. And the other is American Methods, Torture and the Logic of Domination, not the play kind, by Christian Williams. And a third book, The COINTELPRO Papers, Documents Against Dissent in the United States, by Ward Churchill and Jim Vander Waal. All of that is from southendpress.org in the section called Domestic Repression. Okay. We talked about the J. Edgar Hoover statue and life-size mannequin kind of behavior. We had two ideas from the same guy. He wasn't a live guest, but he was a local book burner until about 6 months ago. And very funny. He's actually a former coworker from a couple of jobs ago. And one is a pasta fantasy, smearing and covering in pasta before rolling around on a twister, a game of twister kind of mat, and giving the spies a show on that. And the other is, and this is definitely his idea, he wants to fuck a George W. Bush cutout. I believe the face, not the butt, but whatever. I think his scenario was he wanted to fuck the face of the W cutout and have a real-life human on the other side of the cutout and kind of have, like, Bush between them. I don't know if I could get into that. I will always happily admit anything and everything that is within the parameters of my tastes, which is a lot, but I think that's outside of the sphere of what I am willing to do. Anyway, we want to acknowledge, before we get further into this, the passing of Margaret Boger, who died on April 23rd. Margaret Boger was the mother of medical marijuana refugee Rene Boger, who faced, I think, 10 years to life, some insane sentence she was facing. And she decided to flee fascism and go to the north and to Canada. And she's been there ever since. She's still fighting an extradition trial. She's at Rene Boger, B-O-J-E, reneboger.com. And she's been separated from her siblings and mother for years. And so her Renee's mom never got to see Renee's child, who is, I believe, 2 or 3 years old by now. And titled From the FBI Secret War. So we want to acknowledge the passing of Margaret Bourget and to state our ongoing and continued support of Renee Bourget as she fights extradition from Canada to California, where she would do an extremely long sentence in a medical marijuana trial. And that is absolutely sickening and appalling. Okay. Now, this was discussed with other book burners, and we agreed that for the surveillance crew, porn is definitely a good idea. Because, for one thing, they're going to watch it even if they hate it. They're going to keep looking through the window and checking it out. And kind of like Robertson types, you know, it's like they'll talk about how much they hate it and then they'll keep their eyes glued to it as they talk morals and family values. But really, who would you rather keep an eye on for hours and hours? You know, the slightly manic and slightly on edge organizer or the tape watcher? So they leave the organizers alone, and if you are an organizer, well, they'll be watching the tape instead of you preparing for an action. And then, you know, the primary surveillance guy is like sitting there, his partner comes back, you know, they start arguing, you know, I told you I don't want any cream in my coffee. And why are my donuts always spilled? And, you know, it gets real ugly. So, you are doing not only yourself a favor, but you are doing a tremendous public service. All right. Porn definitely helps. Pasta fantasies. If you're into anything weird, and I don't mean the word weird in a judgmental sense. You know, my use of the word weird usually is something that's outside of something that I'm into. Like, I'm not into baby bonnets, you know, or things that are that unusual. But if you are, or if you're into anything even more unusual or more extreme, please do it fairly close to the window. Not so much so that the passers-by get a show, but so that the spies and the electronic surveillance people do get a show and do get to share in it. Okay, this is very off-topic, but I realized that there is yet another reason why not only the corporate media and not only the corporate entertainment industry suck so bad, but these horrible rock and roll DJs are like, they play all of this shit that was cut out and like thrown away by the Beatles. So it's like, you know, all these like outtakes and rarities. And there was a station like that that I was subjected to without consent. And I never thought I would live to hear a bad version of Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds or some other tracks that were fantastic. And they just played the shit endlessly. There's a reason why they were unreleased. There were reasons why. I think these guys would want to play on their like Beatle outtake specials, you know, recordings of their diarrhea, you know, or something they just totally fucked up. I mean, they sang like the same line twice, you know, or started over again. It's like, you know, you don't need that kind of shit even on a tape. That's the kind of shit you tape over. These fucking Beatle DJs, like, I had no idea how bad they are, because I really don't even waste my time with that shit. But since I heard it, I wanted to comment on it. These Beatle-obsessed DJs who play like the worst unreleased stuff. It's like anything that's on tape, they will play. If you tuned in late, this is the Spy on This theme show, and it's also in accordance with National Masturbation Month, which is celebrated by the folks who do fundraisers at masturbateathon.org. And god damn, the time has been flying, and I got lots more songs and goodies for you. Send your input for the Reverend Cracks, the Da Pinch Me Code, and that will be in 2 weeks. There's no show next week. There's a great new book. I'm pretty sure it's new. New books section. And it reminds me of when Al Franken did probably the funniest book of the 90s, Rush Limbaugh is a Big Fat Idiot. And this brand new book is equally of value from Nation Books. It's entitled Sweet Jesus, I Hate Bill O'Reilly by Joseph Minton Amand and Tom Brewer, founders of SweetJesusIHateBillO'Reilly.com. O'Reilly is O-R-E-I-L-L-Y. SweetJesusIHateBillO'Reilly.com. There's no apostrophe in the web address. So it's a book and a website. And I don't have time to read any of it tonight. I thought I was. But I want to play some more tunes and some more content and then play like some closing tunes. Before we run out of time, you probably know that Isaac Hayes, the star of Shaft in the early 70s, and later the chef in South Park animated cartoons, which are hilarious, and they had a pedophile priest one episode not that long ago to acknowledge those fucking freakazoids. Well, the chef decided to quit because after all of their hilarious lampoonery of the Christian cult and the other kinds of cults out there, when they decided to have humor that was directed at Scientology, which Isaac Hayes joined along with some other famous whack jobs, he decided that he was offended and he was going to leave. So we're sad that South Park lost the chef, and we want to play a song by him from Chef Aid, which was the first South Park CD. This is Chocolate Salty Balls.
Tablespoons of cinnamon and two or three egg whites, a half a stick of butter melted. Stick it all in a bowl, baby. Stir it with a wooden spoon. Mix in a cup of flour. You'll be in heaven soon. Say, everybody, have you seen my balls? They're big and salty and brown. If you ever need a quick pick-me-up, just stick my balls in your mouth. Ooh, suck on my chocolate salted balls. Stick them in your mouth and suck them. Suck on my chocolate salted balls. They're packed full of vitamins and good for you. So suck on my balls. Bought a cup of unsweetened chocolate and a half a cup of brandy. Then throw in a bag or two of sugar and just a pinch of vanilla. Raise up the cookie sheet, 'cause I hate when my balls stick. 350 and give the spoon a lick. Say, everybody, have you seen my balls? They're big and salty and brown. If you ever need a quick pick me up, just stick my balls in your mouth. Suck on my chocolate salted balls. Put them in your mouth and suck them. Suck on my chocolate salted balls. They're packed full of goodness, high in fiber. Suck on my balls. Hey, wait a minute. What's that smell? It smells like something burning. Well, that don't confront me none. Long as I get my rent paid on Friday. Baby, you better get back in the kitchen. Cause I got a sneaking suspicion. Oh man, baby. Baby, you just burned my balls. Come on, my balls on fire. Come on, spend it.
Third, the pack. It was in the news.
Thank you, thank you. Here's a talented group of youngsters that call themselves Rancid.
Stranger, you can't feel the base. which was created by man. The Creator gave us the earth. He put us here in the universe. He gave us our minds. He gave us all these tools to exist and survive. And
the war on drugs is a war on people. Very delicate. And people's rights are being violated, and you're incarcerating and caging human beings, oftentimes who are simply victims of the sickness of addiction, who have become sucked up into this giant war on drugs, which is in fact a crime against humanity. A crime against humanity. The war on drugs is a war on people.
Okay, we are going to attempt to use the Radio Volta cassette machine, which is something not attempted in a long time, so we're going to try to make it work. Let's turn this down, this up. Alright, and see if we get any sound. Alright. Play, fucker.
Now the Israelis have a nudist camp on Taba, right by Egypt on the Gulf of Aqaba. Bathers sunning on the beach were dangerously within reach of Muslim guards patrolling near the spot. And now it says to cover up in the Koran, but those Hebrews hung it out to get a tan. So for fear of getting heated, the Egyptians just retreated, which provoked this novel thought for a peace plan. Take off your clothes to those you oppose. Be well exposed to your foes and strike a pose. No need to hurl a rock across the fence if your enemy is being real attentive. Strip to the buff, stick out your duff and strut your stuff. The sight of muff will be enough to halt the tough. Forget about an armored probe, you'll get more room if you disrobe. Relations will improve around the globe. Now the colonel of the Egyptian police platoon made this comment as he peered beyond the dune. All these sabras on the Sinai really look a sight to mine eye, though I think we'd better take some action soon. As he turned, he saw the men of his fine crew, field glasses trained on each attractive Jew. So he went and gave the order to redefine the border 100 yards down farther from the view. Take off your clothes to those you oppose. Be well exposed to your foes and strike a pose. You can unveil a devastating offensive. It's healthier than war and less expensive. Strip to the buff, stick out your duff and strut your stuff. The sight of muff will be enough to halt the tough. Forget about an armored probe, you'll get more room if you disrobe. Relations will improve around the globe. Now here's the surest way to end a running feud. Simply approach your adversary in the nude. If he or she's a prude, they'll think it's lewd and move away. Who knows, they might be in the mood, you win either way. So if you're fighting and you just can't take it, you just might try your luck at standing naked. Before they have another riot, Northern Ireland should try it. The whole world could ease its tensions if we'd only undertake it. I'd propose this brand new cure for hot disputes. Have the warring parties meet in birthday suits. Imagine how a summit conference might progress. Formalities abandoned as each delegate undressed. No harm in getting back to bare essentials. Worldly leaders my potential. Forward one can make appeals to what the other side reveals and see they're not so different after all. Take off your clothes to those you oppose. Be well exposed to your foes and strike a pose. No need to hurl a rock across the fence if your enemy is being real attentive. Strip to the buff, stick out your duff and strut your stuff. The sight of muff will be enough to halt the tough. Forget about an armored probe, you'll get results if you disrobe. Relations can improve around the globe. Oh, yes, indeed. Relations will improve all over the globe.
Sitting in my house and I know that I'm alone. Feeling kinda horny, got a tingle in my bone. Go and grab a penthouse, it's the one with Sharon Stone. Hey, masturbator, go a little faster and it's feeling kinda nice. Once ain't enough, so I have to do it twice. You wanna spank the monkey, I can give you good advice. Hey, masturbator. Down the towel so I keep my carpet clean. Never shake my hand cause you don't know where it's been. Hey, masturbator, I do it in my car while I'm driving down the street. One hand on the wheel and the other on my meat. I can't get out the car cause I'm sticking to the seat. Hey, masturbator. Since I was a kid I have been a masturbator. Choke the chicken whole and I'm squeezing the tomato. I flipped him in November, now I'm gonna decorate her. Hey, masturbator! Buffing a banana, little lizard, shaking, bacon, pounding on the floor.
got my hand is aching. Hey, Master Bitter.
My name is Dr. Laura Hoare, and I'm here to tell you that I'm a very moral, ethical, opinionated, conservative Republican woman of the highest morals and integrity. I stand for America and patriotism, and I lie down and spread for the same damn reasons. I do not suffer gladly any liberal bullshit. Why, I hate liberal Democrats. I loathe everything about them. In fact, strange as it is, I hate them so much that at times I find them irresistibly sexy. Sometimes watching them on TV, whining and pandering to all the special interest groups like the poor, the minorities, the gays, the idiots in the middle class makes me so mad that I become turned on. And the sweet juices of rage flows like a river from my loins. I'm here to tell all you chaste and pure thinking conservative men and women to throw yourselves naked on the altar of George W. Bush and thank the Lord that he put this intellectual genius in office after the long suffering years under Bill Clinton's penis. Oh, this is Dr. Laura Hoare saying good day.
Oh, shit, man. Put out a warning when you do one of those, man.
Yes, it's that very special time once again. It's time for Asshole of the Week. And we have a good one. Sunday, May 7th, 2006 at RadioVolta.org. Our Asshole of the Week is none other than General Michael V. Hayden. General Michael V. Hayden is the Bush nominee for the new head of the CIA Central Intelligence Agency that has a long history, Hayden that is, who has a long history of supporting warrantless surveillance and grand level surveillance of non-threatening American citizens via the National Security Agency, and in fact his entire history in intelligentsia. So it is a surefire bet that on present course and with this new nominee, General Michael V. Hayden, that the spying will escalate, thus furthering the need for crude and or grotesque shows to be put on for them, and the furthering of the shit canning of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. General Michael V. Hayden, you are Asshole of the Week. You heard Ms. Terry from RadioLeft.com doing Dr. Laura Hoare. From Artist Unknown, you heard Master Bader. Mark Levy, hopefully you heard, on a cheap cassette, doing Take Off Your Clothes. Corporate Avenger did FBI File. The Chubbies did Touch a Touch a Touch Me. Agent Orange did Secret Agent Man. And started off with The Chef from South Park doing Chocolate Salty Balls. P.S. I love you. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. Tonight the theme is Spy on This. And once again, we are off the air next Sunday night for what is commonly called Mother's Day. And we'll be returning in 2 weeks for at least one installment. It's probably going to be two shows because there's that much great stuff. And some people are providing great input for the forthcoming show, The Reverend Cracks the Da Pinch Me Code. That is in 2 weeks from tonight. No show next week. And in 2 weeks, The Reverend Cracks the Da Pinch Me Code. And all of that is to come. Updates at ReverendBookburn.com. All right, we are going to close out and cover a couple minutes worth of stuff, play closing tunes, and say goodnight. So 2 weeks, and there'll be an updated posting at ReverendBookburn.com. All right. Let's see. I'm going to cut a lot of shit because I just looked at the time. All right. All right, we'll just give you one of the investigator stories. As you know, there's all these, like, fucking freakazoids who are called private investigators. And there's two that come to mind. One story is too long, and I'm not going to tell it, but there's a guy on the West Coast who kind of has a psycho girlfriend and who had a private investigator on him. We'll save that story for the future. And then there was another dickhead on the East Coast whom the Reverend met with a former DJ at Radio Volta in a restaurant. And he was going on about law and crime and punishment and consequences for your actions and blah, blah, blah. Just this conversation and juvenile delinquents and on and on. This guy had so much to say. And he later, in a case that was famous around here, was convicted of murdering a local rabbi's wife. After he was hired by the rabbi to do so, he and a man who had been discharged from a psychiatric hospital. So these investigators are people, I would say, who are desperately in need of a show. And once again, put on a show for the spies. One possibility is with products from Divine Interventions, divine-interventions.com. And since it's National Masturbation Month anyway, you may as well get creative if you're by yourself. And you can check out the fundraisers at masturbateathon.org. And if you're not alone, well, you want to do it so that the average civilian does not observe you, but the big brother types do see you and do get to see the show. And then they'll cream each other's coffees and fill each other's donuts the way they're supposed to. All right, let's play two more tracks and then get out of here. Check out ReverendBookburn.com and we'll update you about the Reverend Cracks the Da Pinch Me Code in 2 weeks. Write to me, Quayle, Q-U-A-Y-L-E, at sjcdc.org. This is a track by a band from the 1960s called Procol Harum, and the track is Sir Days Outside the Gates of... Okay, well, that was Surtees, Outside the Gates of, by Procol Harum. And we'll play one more song and get out of here. And check out reverendbookburn.com and send your input for the Reverend Cracks the Da Pinci Me Code, which will be on the air in 2 weeks. We'll play one last song while you put on a show for the spies. This is by Ghost Dance, and this is entitled Shrunken Heads. Good night.